Let's turn in God's Word to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. We're reading this evening, as we have been, verses 1 through 7 of Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Let's pray to the Lord, ask for His help upon us. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful that Your name deserves all praise and blessing and glory. Thankful that though You are so high and infinite and eternal, and we so finite and frail, that You still speak to us out of Your covenant grace and mercy, that You have condescended to make covenant with us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and how privileged we are. So now, Father, grant us Your Word, not only in our ears, our minds, but in our hearts, that You would do Your great work of justification, of salvation, sanctification, unto glorification. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. These are God's words. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall be pruned, nor digged. It shall not be pruned, nor digged. But there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression. For righteousness, but behold a cry. Those are God's words. So as we have been studying covenant theology, which is how the Lord has laid out the big picture of the entirety of the Scriptures, revealing His plan of salvation to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And after the Lord created man, He condescended. He condescended to man and made covenant with him through our surety, Adam. Remember that? He made covenant with our surety, Adam, called the covenant of works or the covenant of life. He made a covenant, kids, with us. You remember the catechism? When God had created man, He entered into a covenant of what? A covenant of life with him upon condition of perfect obedience, forbidding him to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil upon pain of death. But what did our surety, Adam, our covenant head, do? He ate of that tree when God had forbidden him in the covenant to do so. He ate of that tree, broke God's commandments, and sin and misery and death came to all men in union with their father, our father, at one time, hopefully for all of us, at one time, Adam. And yet the Lord was pleased to make another covenant. He condescended to save a people unto Himself from their sin, death, and from misery, called the covenant of grace. Right, kids? Right, kids? The catechism again, remember, God having out of His mere good pleasure from all eternity, elected some to everlasting life, did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of the estate of sin and misery and bring them into an estate of salvation by a Redeemer. exactly what the Scriptures teach, exactly what we have heard. God, in making covenant with His people, shown forth in Scripture, is in one substance, one covenant of grace. There is one way of salvation, to be saved from your sins. You must repent and believe on Jesus Christ. And then also you have heard, as we have heard, the administration of the covenant of grace. How is that covenant of grace in substance, the gospel, administered to us, to the people that God wants to save according to His promise? We have investigated how the covenant of grace is administered to us. We haven't investigated the administrator, Jesus Christ, of this covenant. Why Jesus Christ? Because He's a mediator. And as mediator, He saved His people from their sins. And as mediator, Jesus Christ has been furnished with all the authority and ability to execute as the in His offices of the prophet, priest, and king, all for the salvation of His elect. As well, His purposes last Lord's Day, we heard, to bring in the many sinners into the covenant, to manage them, to lead them, to carry them all the way to glory. But we also looked at the object of the covenant, which includes all sinners without exception. So we asked the question, how is the covenant of grace, the gospel, in substance administered? It is administered outwardly. It is administered outwardly everywhere to all people without exception, including sinners. We call the administration. The administration of the gospel, the covenant of grace to all peoples, we call that the free offer of the gospel. And now this evening, friends, we need to look at the Scriptures to see in what ways has the administrator, Jesus Christ, how has He administered the covenant of grace since the fall into sin in Genesis 3? Another way we might ask that question concerning this topic, in what ways has the dispenser, the administrator, the dispenser of the covenant of grace, how has He dispensed the gospel? That language of dispensations. Dispensations, which is a perfectly fine word to use, not to be mangled and trodden down by the false teaching of dispensationalism, which corrupts the biblical language of dispensation. Of the covenant of grace in Scripture, there are two dispensations. There are two dispensations of the covenant of grace. What is a dispensation? A dispensation of the covenant of grace is the distributing out of the benefits, right? The administrator, Jesus Christ, has been sent. He's died on the cross so that He can then distribute the benefits and blessings of the covenant of grace to all His people, His elect. And so, the dispensation of the covenant of grace is the distributing out of those benefits of the gospel to sinners. And in particular, it is a mode of administering the covenant of grace. And so we could say there are two modes, two dispensations, there are two modes of administering the covenant of grace to sinners. Does that mean there are multiple ways of salvation, like the dispensationalists believe? No, absolutely not, ever, no, never, right? The substance of the covenant of grace is that there is one way of salvation. It is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ alone, from Adam till Christ's second coming. It is one way. Or is there, we could ask the question, is there in one time period, like Moses, is there in that time period people who are saved in one way, and another people, and like Peter and Paul, are they saved another way? And absolutely not. No, never. There's one way of salvation. But there are, in the administration of the covenant of grace, there are two dispensations of the covenant of grace. There are two modes of the covenant of grace. There is one called the Old Testament, and there is the other called the New Testament. Think of what Paul says in Hebrews chapter 8. And that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And it vanishes away in Christ and gives way to the new. He's not saying the covenant of grace or the gospel is old or decays, but that the former, an old mode or of administering the covenant of grace, has made way now for the second and new covenant or New Testament. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, this does not mean the covenant of works or the covenant of life that was made with Adam, our covenant head, but the old mode, the old dispensation. That's what Hebrews is all about. Giving way to the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the old mode of administration, and giving way to the New Testament, the new covenant, the new mode of administering the covenant of grace. And so the old mode, the old dispensation of the covenant of grace, which was before the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ in the flesh. And so then when Paul speaks of the New Testament, the New Covenant, and it is meant that different mode now administered by Christ, that dispensation of the same covenant of grace, the same gospel, the same and only way to be saved from your sins in Christ alone, but a new way to administer. And that began soon after Christ came in the flesh upon His death and resurrection. And so to say it generally, from the time of the fall in Genesis 3 until the coming of Christ, the first time there was the Old Testament, which we can wrap our heads around, right? And then from Christ and to His first coming to His second coming, the New Testament, a new covenant. This evening we're going to look at the two dispensations of the covenant of grace. Again, since the fall of man into sin, there has only been one way to be saved, by faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot lose that. Do not lose your focus on the substance of the covenant of grace. And yet, when talking about the Old and New Testaments, the Old and New Covenants, we can confidently say, because we are going to see it in the Scriptures, that the covenant of grace was differently administered in the time of the Old Testament compared to the time in the New Testament and today. And so then how was the covenant of grace administered in the Old Testament? What is that mode that it was administered in the Old Testament? It's different than how it is administered in the New Testament. And it's different, therefore, how it's administered today, just like the same as the New Testament, New Covenant, because that's what we're in. In the Old Testament, it was administered or dispensed first by promises. Right, we look throughout the Scriptures, we'll see in the Old Testament, there are many promises looking forward to the coming of Christ. Romans 15. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The promises that were made unto the fathers of the Old Testament. Made unto the fathers like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Those promises, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God in that time. Right? It was administered, secondly, not only by promises, but secondly by prophecies. Acts chapter 3. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached. There's the prophecies. It was preached. He was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of His holy prophets. There's the prophets prophesying. In the mouth of all of His holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Foretold, language of prophesying. And so there are the promises there in Acts 3, but also the prophecies. And so in the Old Testament, it was the covenant of grace was administered or dispensed by promises, by prophecies. This third thing, sacrifices. By sacrifices. Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. It was administered by sacrifices, by promises, prophecies, and sacrifices. It was administered, fourthly, by circumcision. By circumcision. Romans 4. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith, so here's the gospel, right? Faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign, right? The administration. The outward administration of the covenant of grace. The outward seal of the covenant of grace. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So was Abraham saved because he was circumcised? That's clearly saying no, he was not. But circumcision is how the covenant of grace was administered outwardly, or we could say communicated. How was the gospel communicated? It's through the circumcision, the sign of, or the sacrament of circumcision, outwardly declaring the gospel. We got promises, prophecies, sacrifices, circumcision. It was also administered, you might guess, by the Passover, by the Paschal Lamb. Jesus Christ, foreshadowing Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 5. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So that Passover that began in Exodus was always foreshadowing Christ's sacrifice as the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God. And so whether it is the promises, the prophets, the sacrifices, circumcision, Passover, the Paschal Lamb, they all foreshadow and communicate, they're administering, they communicate externally, they communicate the gospel promises fulfilled in Christ. They communicate the covenant of grace and the promises therein. And God's perfect providence, these ways the Lord in Christ dispensed, administered, the covenant of grace in the Old Testament were sufficient. They were sufficient for the elect of God to believe on God unto salvation. As well freely offer all sinners everywhere to believe and repent of their sins, as we're going to see, and we just read, Abraham believed. Moses believed. Even Gentiles like Rahab and Ruth, etc. believed. Based on what? Promises? Prophecies? Sacrifices? Circumcision? And the Passover. And yet externally, the Word prophesied, the promises preached, the sacrifices, the sacraments of circumcision and the Passover, all external, outward forms of communicating the covenant of grace, communicating the gospel. Think of 1 Corinthians 10. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. They had the gospel and they ate and drank of Christ just like we do. By faith. Believing upon Him. By the same operation of the Holy Spirit to build up the elect in their faith in the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. In Him alone. The Old Testament saints had full forgiveness of their sins and eternal salvation. In Galatians 3, it says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He's speaking of all things. He's speaking of the Old Testament still. There in Galatians. So then what about the New Testament? What about the New Covenant? How has and is the covenant of grace administered since the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? who was foreshadowed and pointed to in the promises, the prophecies, the sacrifice, the circumcision, Passover, etc. How is it dispensed now? How is the covenant of grace, the gospel, administered now? You know, through the preaching of the word. Through the preaching of the word, by the administration of the sacraments, baptism, the Lord's Supper. Communicating what? They always communicate to us the gospel of Jesus Christ, the covenant of grace and the promises, the benefits and blessings of the covenant of grace. Right? All outward, right? Preaching is outward. Your hearing is outward. All outward external means baptism, there's water being poured out. The supper, when we sit around the table, outward, we're eating physical bread, we're drinking the wine. They're outward external means of holding forth, in more fullness, more evidence. Now we have more, we could say, efficacy. As God works by His grace, salvation to all nations. Christ is the substance of the covenant of grace. The promises manifested purely in Him, and yet, just like the Old Testament, the same covenant of grace is administered. If we go back to the Old Testament, they were administered externally, outwardly. And here in the New Testament, in our time, externally and outwardly the same. Consider again the Scriptures. Mark 16, verse 15. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11, the Lord's Supper. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me. And this is the New Testament, the New Covenant. There are outward, external ways that Jesus Christ, the administrator of the covenant of grace, administers His covenant. In the time of the Old Testament, and different external ways in the New Testament. So when you have others who say the covenant of grace is all internal, they're flat out wrong because the Scriptures teach otherwise. Right? There is an internal truth, spiritual reality that we must have. Jesus Christ is our surety of that covenant, our person who stands in our place, who died on the cross for our sins. And we must believe by faith inward realities, inward truths. But there's also external administrations of the covenant of grace. And the prophesying in the Old Testament, sacrifices, etc. And here in the New, preaching and the preaching of the Word and the sacraments. And so you see, there are administering, Christ is administering the covenant of grace differently in the time of the Old Testament than in the New. But it's the same, one and the same covenant of grace in substance. Let's consider the covenant of grace starting in the Old Testament with Adam. We're not going to be going into great detail of each way that God reveals Himself more in the covenant and administers the covenant in great detail, but we'll look at each one. From Adam to Noah, the covenant of grace was embraced by faith. It was externally administered. It was externally sealed by sacrifices offered in faith. If you look at in time from Adam to Noah, they offered sacrifices. Even Abel offered sacrifices. And first, I will read Genesis 3:15, the first gospel promise, the first revealing, revelation of the covenant of grace to the world. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That was the Lord speaking to Satan, the serpent, Christ, who was going to bruise his head, and Satan, who would bruise his heel when Christ died on the cross. The promise of the Messiah striking a deathly blow to Satan, the first promise. Yet also promising the death of the Messiah, the cross of Jesus Christ. Prefigured then, right after that, prefigured by Abel, slain by his brother. And Christ's ascension foreshadowed by Enoch, Enoch's translation from the earth to heaven and the glory. And Genesis 5. Now when we talk about the different administrations of the covenant of grace from Adam to Christ, we are witnessing from the Lord revealing it to us in Scripture, the covenant of grace, our gracious God revealing more and more as time goes on, as more of the Scriptures are revealed and more time, as time goes on, He's revealing more and more the covenant of grace, more and more the promises, more and more the blessings and the benefits of it, more and more about Jesus Christ. And so when the Lord makes a covenant with Noah, Noah believed and was saved. Noah saved in the ark. He was saved in the ark from the flood's destruction, from the wrath of God. In the covenant of Noah, the Lord warning of Noah, of the flood that was to come. But he had no evidence to support that for Noah himself, except what God promised, that a flood would come. Noah didn't have anything else but God's promise. But Noah believed. And what is amazing about Noah is that he is a type of Christ, and one who shows forth to us Christ. Because Noah was a prophet. He was the preacher of righteousness, it describes him as. Preaching to the wicked, preaching to the spirits which are now in prison. The truth. The gospel. A priest he was, for he built an altar. He offered burnt offerings on it. He was a king. He was a king when the flood came and destroyed every other person on the earth, all the wicked. He alone remained with his family. He was the sole king upon all the earth. And so he points us to, he foreshadows Christ as our prophet, priest, and king. And how can you not see in the promise from God to Noah than the flood coming in God's wrath against humanity and saving His elect, that covenant of grace revealed again to us there. The Lord blessing Noah and his family with the external sign of not just that He wouldn't flood the world again in His wrath, but the covenant of grace shown forth externally to all the world to see, confirming that common grace He shows to all sinners without exception, reminding us again of the free offer of the gospel that He offers in the preaching of the Word. And yet we come to Abraham then. And the Lord makes another promise, another covenant promise, so we would say, it reveals more about the covenant of grace. We would say He's there with Abraham in Genesis 12 and 15 and 17. He's renewing the covenant of grace, reminding Abraham, remember what I promised. But also revealing more of the benefits and blessings of the covenant. That Abraham would be the father of all who believe, as we just read in Galatians 3. Romans 4 as well. It says, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So Abraham made to show us externally through the promise about the ever through the promise the everlasting Father, Jesus Christ. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, right? Jesus Christ. He's showing us through the promise of Jesus Christ, our everlasting Father. And that special renewing of His covenant of grace, revealing more to us then also through Isaac and Jacob. The next covenant was that in the time of Moses, but it wasn't another covenant. It was another administration, or we could say another part of the administration in the Old Testament of the covenant of grace in Exodus 19. "Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And how would they be that but through faith? "And unto the fruit of obedience." And then he gives them in the next chapter the Ten Commandments, the law. And we're told in John's Gospel chapter 1, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." That there is a law in the covenant of grace. There is a law in the covenant of grace. Righteousness, the keeping of it, fulfilled in Christ alone for you by faith in Him. Because what? Our Father in Adam, our Father in union with Adam, did not keep righteousness. He did not keep the command. So we have a new surety by faith in Christ. The covenant of grace administered in that time until Christ's coming in ceremonial worship, the temple, the sacrifices, all fulfilled in Christ alone. Again, this is all what the book of Hebrews teaches us. And then the covenant renewed again to David, which means that the covenant of grace in this Old Testament administration and the Old Testament mode of being administered, we are revealed more again about the covenant of grace. In 2 Samuel 7 to David, wherein the covenant of grace, we are promised a king, a forever king who sits on a forever throne of His forever kingdom. And the king we know is Jesus Christ, who reigns even now. And all who come to Him by faith are citizens of His kingdom. We're learning in Matthew's Gospel. And what is the rule of that kingdom? We already have learned in Matthew's Gospel. It's the law. It's the law, and it's God's commandments that we just referred to. And then the new covenant. The new covenant of Christ's coming. Luke 16, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached." So since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. The kingdom of God is preached. Externally, the covenant of grace is administered now through preaching. In the Old Testament, all those things we have gone through, as the covenant of grace was revealed more and more, it was administered to Israel externally and some others through means of many ordinances, temple worship, sacrifices, promises, prophets, prophecies, etc. Different ways did the Lord show forth through Christ, the administrator of the covenant of grace, calling sinners to repent of their sins and believe on Christ for salvation. From Adam until today. And yet these different administrations of the Old Testament, these different foreshadowings, if we put it that way, were in shadow, darker than what has now been fully revealed in Christ's first coming of pure light manifested among men to show forth the gracious promises of the covenant of grace all the more fully and clearly. Those ordinances and administrations of the covenant of grace in the Old Testament were sufficient for those Old Testament saints, the Old Testament covenant people of God. They were efficacious through the work of the Holy Spirit when it was united with faith unto salvation. And all the elect believing in the promised Messiah to come. And they were offered as well, the free offer of the gospel, to believe on Christ for their salvation. It is of the elect who believed in that time, who received the same as we, full forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation. But when Christ came and was fully manifested to this world now in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, under the Gospel, as Hebrews teaches us the New Covenant, the covenant of grace administered outwardly, externally, still in the preaching of the Word, as we heard, in baptism, the Lord's Supper, these, as we think of the way Christ administers, the way that He reveals the covenant of grace in this time compared to the old, These are far less ordinances than we find in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, again, we had the promises, the prophecies, the sacrifices, the circumcision, Passover, and other things. We could go on. But in the New Testament, preaching, sacraments, we could add in there prayer. Even we could add in there perhaps fellowship. But there's far less ordinances today than in the Old Covenant. Why is that? Because Christ has been fully revealed. And we don't need all of those things when He has been fully revealed. As well as we look at them and consider both groups, the old compared to the new administrations, the new modes compared to the new mode compared to the old. We might even say they have far less outward glory. They come in far greater simplicity. And yet in these means of grace, the outward means of grace are held forth in more fullness today, with more evidence from the Scriptures and more spiritual efficacy when the Holy Spirit unites them to us in our hearts. Hebrews 12. Think of Hebrews 12. It goes on about the Old Testament and how they came to Jerusalem. And then it says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion today. That's the new covenant. But you have come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Those are the promises to us today, because more has been revealed. Because Christ now speaks from heaven. It's not speaking because through Abel or through Noah. But now Christ is speaking directly from heaven through His Word that we have. And we join with the angels and the just made perfect, etc., with the general assembly, the judge of all, God, as our spirit, our hearts are lifted up by the Holy Spirit. And so to summarize what we have looked at this evening, just like Scripture, there are Old and New Testaments, and that really shows forth and communicates to us the Old and New Covenants, that are two dispensations or two modes in which the covenant of grace has and is administered by Jesus Christ. The Old Covenant or Old Testament, and He's revealing the covenant of grace from the Gospel from Adam until His first coming, and the New Covenant of the New Testament from His first coming unto His second coming, where He reveals all the more clearly and simply the same, one and the same covenant of grace. There is one covenant of grace from the time of Adam until the end, and Christ's second coming, and yet administered outwardly by, as our confession says, by promises, prophecies, sacrifices, circumcision, the Paschal Lamb, and other types and ordinances delivered to the people of the Jews, all for signifying Christ to come. But now today, under the new, Christ having come, Christ is shown, He has manifested Himself. The Gospel is freely offered and clearly manifested, and the outward and ordinary means of the covenant of grace, the same covenant of grace, old and new, one and the same, that you today, just like Moses, just like Abraham, just like Aaron, just like David, Just like Ruth, Rahab. You must come to Christ by faith, abhorring all of your sins and turning unto Christ to be saved from them. Today is the day to come to faith in Christ, that you would be a son and daughter of our father Abraham by faith. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for revealing to us the gospel, the covenant of grace. It is in all actuality quite simple. And yet because of our backgrounds, our presuppositions, our sin, the way we were raised, the churches we grew up in, it's been conflated, confused. And Father, yet you have revealed it throughout the Scriptures so clearly. And we're going to see even more clearly next Lord's Day, Lord willing. And so, Lord, show us the light and remove the darkness from our hearts and our minds, our wills and our affections. Grant to us an understanding of the covenant of grace, both in its substance and in its administration. And the administration both inwardly and externally. That we would understand the Scriptures. That we would understand when we're in Isaiah chapter 5 and it talks about your people, your covenant people, that you judge them and you kick them out of the vineyard. And you produced wild grapes and not the good grapes. That we would give and that we would have understanding of these things. That we would understand when we learn in Hebrews of the difference of the old and new covenants, of which we just studied. That we would understand when you give those warning passages about covenant breakers. And so, Father, give us wisdom about these things. Because we desire to know you, and by knowing you all the more, we will be all the more greater servants of you and your kingdom. And that is our great desire for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.